All right, good morning again. Today we are continuing in our series, Modern Family, Transforming Your Most Important Relationships. I want to be clear, I am not an expert in any of these subjects, marriage or parenting, but I do believe that our faith plays a very important role in these relationships. And as Dean and I worked on this sermon, you know, we recognize, we're like, wow, it's hard to get up and speak as if you're some sort of authority on parenting when you're practically feel like you're drowning yourself. And both of us are in the throes of parenting at a little bit different stages. But while we recognize we are far from perfect as parents, we do take our role as parents very seriously. And this morning, we're going to focus on parenting in peace. And we're going to use Ephesians chapter 6 as our guide. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he has been writing to them and trying to teach them how they're supposed to behave in personal relationships with one another in the church, in the body of Christ. And then he starts to flesh out, what does this look like more specifically in certain kinds of relationships, like husbands and wives, and parents and children, and slaves and masters? And so here's what he says in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, as with marriage, I think that it's very important that if we want to really understand what is Paul talking about, we have to wrap our minds around the cultural context in which Paul is writing, and then try to compare and contrast it with our current cultural context, because the two, especially in this kind of situation, are very, very different. But before I get too deep into the cultural context, I want to make a couple of disclaimers. First, I know some of you are not actively parenting right now. Maybe your children are grown. And I want to just encourage you to keep your ears open. There are obviously principles that can be applied in relationships between parents and kids to all relationships. And as you know, you never stop being a parent. I mean, your kids are always your kids. And so I think that this passage still has something to say. And the second thing is, I know some of you are not parents at all, but Jesus really redefined for us family relationships. Remember when he was speaking to a crowd, he was inside a packed house, and his biological family was there as long with the crowd. And when they called for Jesus, when his family called for Jesus, Jesus' response was, "These are my mother and brothers, those who do the will of my Father in heaven." Now, Jesus wasn't trying to slight his mother and brothers. He loved them. However, he was really expanding the definition of family. Family in the church is more than just your biological family. There's also our spiritual family. And so everyone has a role to play as a mother or brother in God's family. And many of us do. We understand what that's like. You know, I feel like I have a lot of parents here at this church, especially moms. I have a lot of moms who are always, you know, "Hey, are you taking care of yourself? Are you, you know," and it's awesome. I love it. People love me and pray for me and are concerned for my well-being. We all have the responsibility as a family to raise up children in our church. And that's one of the things that's so exciting about baptism that we're going to celebrate in a few minutes. You know, we all are going to make a commitment to do what we can to help Malachi grow up to know and to love the Lord. So, you know, that those are things that help us connect with what Paul's saying, even if we're kind of beyond the years of raising our kids, or maybe we don't have any kids at all. Now let's talk a little bit about context. The cultural context that Paul was writing to in terms of how they thought of children in that day, it really, I don't know that it could be much more different than it is today. I mean, the gap is so huge between the way they viewed children and the way that we view children. First of all, Paul addresses fathers. Now, this was a term that would have been interchangeable, meaning fathers and mothers. So it's, you know, when he says fathers, he's referring to both parents. But it is definitely true that fathers were the primary dispensers of discipline. Now, it's probably hard for us to get our heads around this, but children in that culture, it might be too far to say they were viewed as property, but they certainly were not viewed in the way that we do. I mean, remember when Jesus is you know, the little kids have come to Jesus and he's praying for them, he's blessing them, and what is the disciples' reaction? They're like, hey, get these little kids away from Jesus. What are we doing, you know? And we're kind of horrified by that. We're like, what? You know? They just didn't place the same value or that we do on their children. They valued them in a different way, I guess would be maybe the best way to say it. They could sell their children into slavery. And many of them did. Which, by the way, is still going on in the world. In lots of places in the world. The parents will just, you got financial problems? Well, just sell one of your kids. I mean, we are horrified by this. There were people doing it in Jesus' day with no sense of shame or... Now, that should help us start to imagine the difference in how they viewed children and the way that we do. They could sell them. They could work them literally to death. They could treat them almost in any way that they liked. There was a very, very clear hierarchy of power and rights. The parents had all the power, and the kids had none of the rights. Now, what about our culture? Well, I mean, we are completely, completely on the other end of the spectrum, right? We value children in a very extreme way. As a parent, I know it feels like I'm always being just bombarded with these messages telling me what is the right way to raise my daughters, and that, you know, don't screw it up, you know. It's a tremendous feeling of pressure because we put them on a pedestal and we act as if, you know, one wrong word might just ruin them for life. I remember when Bishop Johnson, he was here not too long ago from Uganda, a very different culture in Uganda. And I said, would children ever talk back to their parents in Uganda? He's like, no, of course not. I said, well, what's the difference that you see between our culture and yours? And he said, well, in your culture, the kids are in charge. The kids are running the family. We cushion our kids in every possible way. We tend to just turn our lives upside down to serve them. You know, let's see. Tonight, well, we have pickup from football, volleyball, taekwondo, soccer, and chess club. That, which, by the way, that's a real story. A real person in this parish. The mom had five things to pick up four kids from in one night. I mean, we have these crazy schedules, and we feel this sense of pressure. Well, we better keep up, because if we don't, then our kids are not going to measure up. And so I don't think I have to convince people today that our role as parents is important. I feel like I'm receiving that message loud and clear. And it feels like a pretty significant weight, in the sense that it's all about me as a parent. And if I, you know, misstep, then I might break them. And that tends to cause parents to be really racked with anxiety and pressure. So how can we learn to parent in peace in the midst of all that we have going on? Well, Paul, his instruction is very short and to the point. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So Paul's goal in addressing these relationships, remember, he's addressing husbands and wives, parents and children, and slaves and masters. And what he's trying to do is say, look, in the body of Christ, in the church, your standard for how you relate to one another is Jesus. And how he relates to the church, your standard is not just simply embracing the cultural norms. And so he's saying, in relationship between children and parents, Jesus is really your guide for how you relate to one another. And so in this passage, he gives us three do's, three things we should do, and one thing we should not do. So let's start with the do's. He says, do bring them up. We have to bring them up. Now, this is kind of Paul's big picture statement, bring them up. The Greek word means to nourish. So bringing them up, it means to nourish them. Be the same word that Paul would use if he was saying you need to nourish your body, or if you're taking care of a plant, you would nourish it. You know, you would feed it. You would take care of it. You have an important role to play. And so we should be intentional in how we raise our kids. You know, imagine a gardener looking over his prized plant, making sure it has everything it needs. As it grows, it may need to be repotted. That may be a bit traumatizing to the plant, but that's what it needs. It may need pruning, which isn't pleasant. But again, that's what's best for the plant. And that's the guiding principle. In order to bring them up, to nourish them, Paul instructs that parents really have to have the best interests of the child in mind, just as Christ has our best interest in mind. Christ is at work in our lives, and we can trust that how he is working in us is for our good. And that's a key principle. So, bring them up. And then second, we do discipline them. You know, I think that if Paul could be here, you know, maybe what he would say to us, the emphasis might be a little bit different. He would say, somebody please discipline their children. Now, again, the kind of discipline Paul is talking about here is a kind of discipline that is for our good. You know, if I'm in Target, my kid is throwing a fit, there's probably different emotions I may feel in that moment. One might be, you know, how dare she do this? You know, I'm her father. She's embarrassing me, and therefore she should be punished. That's not a good motivation for discipline. Now, the other thing is, she's throwing a fit, and I may think, you know, I really don't want her to grow up to be the kind of child that throws fits. I don't want her to grow up feeling entitled and bratty. So I need to figure out a way to discipline her, to reinforce to her that it's not good to be that kind of person. The second kind of discipline is different. It's the kind that is, I think, Paul is encouraging in this passage. It's not motivated by revenge, but it's the kind of discipline that is for their good. The Bible uses that same kind of word for discipline, that it's the same way that God disciplines us. He disciplines us not to get revenge on us, but he disciplines us for our good. And then the third thing is that we do encourage them in the Lord. Paul says that we should bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And the word instruct means to encourage. We should encourage them in the Lord. We should encourage their faith. Our role as parents is to spiritually care for our children. And as I've already said, I mean, I don't think I need to convince parents that our role as parents is important. The culture is telling us that all the time. But important in what way? What should we be preparing our children for? What should we be trying to instill in them? You know, 3 and 2 is a huge baseball complex out in Lenexa. It's estimated that there have been 60,000 athletes that have played there. Guess how many of those have gone on to play Major League Baseball? Zero. Zero. Now, are team sports good? Yes. Yes. They teach so many important lessons and values in life. I can't even imagine my own childhood without playing sports and my parents taking me to all those things and being at the games and stuff. So don't hear me. I'm not down on sports. I'm not saying we should take our kids out of team sports. What I am saying is this. What if we took our spiritual role as parents just as seriously as we do sometimes our role as soccer parents? You know, what if we invested the same kind of time and energy in helping to raise them up spiritually? You know, because we know that for sure our kids are going to need faith. They're going to need strong faith. Faith that is real to them, faith that actually matters in their lives. So those are the three do's. We should bring them up. We should nourish them. We should instruct them and encourage them. And then Paul also gives us a thing that we should not do. Do not provoke them to anger. Another translation says that we should not exasperate our children. Now, is there a parent among us who is not guilty? Of course not. We are all guilty of that. Now, does this mean that you should never make your child angry? No, that's not what Paul is saying. I mean, if you discipline and guide your children, there will, of course, be times when they are frustrated. That's just going to happen. And I think that one of the key ways that we would exasperate our kids is when we place unhealthy demands on them. But there's a balance that we have to manage there, because we do have to encourage our kids. We do have to set the bar high and sometimes push them in ways that they don't want to go. Let's watch a clip that kind of tries to help walk this tension or express this tension. It's from the first family of the 80s. So people like my age will remember this.
Dad, I thought about what you said, and I see your point.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I have a point, too.
Make your point.
You're a doctor and mom's a lawyer, and you're both successful and everything, and that's great. But maybe I was born to be a regular person and have a regular life. If you weren't a doctor, I wouldn't love you less because you're my dad. And so, instead of acting disappointed because I'm not like you, maybe you can just accept who I am and love me anyway because I'm your son.
Theo, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. There's no wonder you get D's and everything. Now, you are afraid to try because you're afraid that your brain is going to explode and it's going to ooze out of your ears. Now, I'm telling you, you are going to try as hard as you can. And you're going to do it because I said so. I am your father. I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out.
We have to set the bar high sometimes, and we want what is best for them. And sometimes that causes tension. But we do need to check our motives. You know, do we want our kids to succeed so that we can take pride in them? I mean, we have to ask ourselves those kind of questions. Do we want them to succeed in some way that maybe we never did? Are we somehow trying to live vicariously through them? You know, we're not above that kind of behavior. And so we need to ask ourselves those difficult questions as parents. And we need, you know, when we put those kind of unhealthy expectations on them, it really does tend to foster this whole idea of putting our kids up there on some kind of pedestal, really making idols out of them. And our kids are not meant to be idols. That kind of pressure can tend to be crushing for a person. So Paul gives us the oughts of parenting. Do bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and don't provoke them to anger. And in the big picture, you know, we kind of can see how we should raise our kids, but there are many obstacles that stand in our way, including just our own weakness, our own inability to live out what we would like to live out. And so I just want to leave you with two things. First, as great as our kids cannot be where we find fulfillment. They cannot be where we find fulfillment. As I mentioned, that makes them an idol and sets us all up for discouragement and failure. What the gospel means for us is that our ultimate fulfillment is really found in Jesus alone. And the best thing we can do as parents who want to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord is to have a vibrant faith ourselves. You know, at the end of the day, there is a great deal of data that suggests that our kids are going to end up a lot like we are. Now, of course, this is a general rule, but a general rule is better than no rule at all. It's not always true, but it's true a lot of the time. And if our faith is truly important and animating in our lives, then there's a decent chance that their faith will be as well. Over time, and sometimes it takes a long time to get there, our kids tend to become like us, good or bad. So if you're a parent today, I want you to know that, you know, God is with you and He's going to help you. You know, we try to have various kinds of things that go on here, resources to help parents. There's a retreat coming up, the Spiritual Parenting Weekend. I think it's in the weekly news details in there, September 13 and 14. They will address various kinds of subjects like modeling your faith, helping your kids to understand God's story and to find their place in it, living as a family on mission. And so, again, details are in your bulletin. But we want to try to do things, and Dawn and her ministry provide a lot of resources for parents. The second thing I want to leave you with is that the gospel, the good news, shows us that God will do anything he can to love and to reach his people. And that includes our kids. You see, the reality is God loves our kids more than we do. We think that our desires for them are strong, but his desire for them is even stronger. He wants them, and he is chasing after them. And so we can be at peace and acknowledge, ultimately, our kids are not ours. They belong to him. So I want to conclude our time just with a prayer, and then we'll have a baptism, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children. Although you have entrusted them to us, Lord, we know that they belong to you. Like Hannah offered Samuel, we dedicate them to you. We recognize, Lord, that they are always in your care. Help us as parents with our weaknesses and imperfections. Give us strength and wisdom to raise our kids according to your word. Supply what we lack. And keep our kids walking on the path that leads to eternal life. Help them to overcome the temptations in this world and the sin that would so easily entangle them. Send your Holy Spirit daily to lead and guide them. Help them to grow in wisdom, in grace and knowledge, in kindness, compassion, and love. May they serve you faithfully and be devoted to you. May they discover the joy of your presence through relationship with your Son, Jesus. Help us never to hold on too tightly to our children, nor neglect our responsibilities before you as parents. Lord, let our commitment to raise our children for your glory cause their lives to forever testify of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's come on up.